Democrat of the day to 48A. We had that is Eden Prairie, Minnetonka area. Lori Pryor is Representative Lori Pryor. She is the incumbent in that race. She's kind enough to join us to talk about her race. Hi, Lori. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much for having me, Matt.
Representative, thank you very much for coming back. I remember when we talked to you 2 years ago, you won in 2016. Let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, your experience over the last 2 years in the Minnesota House.
Wow. You know, and it's something that I talk about all the time now when I'm out going door to door talking to folks. And I always start by saying, you know, it's an interesting time in politics.
Yes, it is.
and everybody relates to that statement. Everybody relates to that statement. So we keep seeing extremes, and we keep seeing this you know, I see it as the majority parties their partisanship and something like the 994 page omnibus bill that, you know, covers everything from beet juice to school safety. It's like, gosh, you know, we need to do better.
You know, it's interesting. Of the Democrats of the day I've talked to, the ones that are incumbents in the House, they point to that moment specifically, saying, if you just need to see how broken the system is, a 1,000-page bill you guys didn't see getting dropped on your lap, the opposition party screaming, you've seen enough of it, you need to vote in 3 hours, and acting like that is somehow representing the people of Minnesota. That one instance, so many people point to that as that was where you really saw that the current Republican leadership in the Minnesota House specifically is quite broken.
Yes, and that's I really have to agree with that. There was partisanship, there was difficulty, there was conflict, but there was also some compromise, and you know, that's what I was a part of, was the compromise. But then when we got to that closing hours, I mean, I remember standing in the chamber at 12:30, just past midnight, and we are just opening up the vote and the debate and the vote on that bill. And I'm thinking, why? How could anybody think this is the right way to govern? And then, you know, we had less than, at that point, it would be less than 12 hours, and we're supposed to be done. And that was not a bill that I could vote for. I don't think it's a bill that anybody should vote for.
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, it was interesting. I talked to Jim Reed, who's running up, I think it was 13A. We talked to him yesterday as Democrat of the Day. And he sort of said, you know, when you're holding hostage bills, which are pretty much, you know, approved of unanimously, that if it was a standalone bill, that it was a no-brainer, Governor Dayton's ready to sign it, you could have gotten some real things done. But because the Republicans in the House were using popular bills as a hostage for their, you know, far-right agenda bills, which were, you know, all in that one big bill, you know, you can't look at this and say it was anything but a massive failure.
Right. And I think that was true. And it was most of the work of our session, of 2018 session, was in that final one massive bill. And as you said, there was great things in that, important things in the bill. And then there are some really, really questionable things. And on top of that, it was the idea that we really didn't even know what was in the bill.
No, you didn't. And that's part of the trick, too.
Yeah, there was not, you know, somebody described it. It was like, you know, you have 3 hours to read the first three Harry Potter books. And there's just, you know, people don't read that fast, you know, and you certainly can't understand it that fast. So, you know, so it was not transparent and it was not accountable to the people.
Let's talk about some of your accomplishments in those 2 years, 2016 or 2017, 2018. What are some things you did work on that you were proud of?
You know, I think what I was most proud of is our work in education and for funding in education. And it's, you know, it's because of the governor's veto that we were able to turn back budget proposals that underfunded our schools. And finally, the last bill presented in the closing hours of the session, and actually the special session in 2017, it was a bill that, you know, we could say, yep, we are trying to fund our public education in this state, which is a constitutional mandate. So I think that was probably what I'm most proud of.
And once again, I want to be very clear here. There are a lot of Republicans that were looking to do the right thing on a lot of these bills. It's just is that it's the leadership that's directing a lot of this. And so even bills which with the bipartisan agreement just didn't get anywhere in 2018. And I think, you know, it really is a shame. Really is a shame.
I think that's true.
When you think about 2018 or this election cycle, you want to go back for two more years. What are some things that you would like to to champion for 48A?
What I'm most passionate about right now, because I think it's really doable. I think that we can pass some common sense gun safety laws. We can reduce gun violence. And there's two bills that I was a co-author of. One is the universal background check, and the other one is the red flag law. And these are two important bills that have been passed in other states, versions of them. They've been shown that they do not infringe on constitutional rights, and also they save lives. Mm-hmm. And I think in this next session, I think I hope that across the state that we elect a majority that can get those bills passed.
Clearly, the Republicans in the House were being guided by the ghost of Tony Cornish, who begged them and pleaded with him as he left his seat in disgrace to not allow any kind of common sense gun regulation to get passed. This, as you know, tragically across the country and across Minnesota, gun violence claims people every single day. It's the lack of common sense on this issue, the way that people are clearly being bought and paid for in the regards of the NRA, the gun manufacturers, the bullet manufacturers, that's who this misguided idea that you can't somehow be for common sense gun regulations if you are a Republican. I think that this is, you're right. I think the only way we're going to get this done is if we get that Democratic majority in the House.
Yep. Yep, and I know that there's allies on the Republican side, and that we can count on those votes. But we have to have people in place that will actually hear the bills, let testimony come forward in committee, let it work through the legislative process, and that we can finally bring it to the floor for a vote. And then everybody will know where their representative stands on this issue.
Lori Pryor is joining us, Democrat of the Day, 48A representative from that area, looking to head back to St. Paul for another term. You, of course, in your district, even though I live in Cheryl Joachim's district, two of my kids' schools are in your district. And I'm in your district quite a bit. And I shared this story on the air a few days ago. I'm not necessarily trying to get into your opponent, but it's something your opponent has done, something which a lot of Republicans across the state are doing, which is she's trying her hardest to hide the fact that she's a Republican from the public, because I kept seeing her signs and I said, who is she? And what party is she from? They're purple and this. So I went to her website, and you want to know the funniest thing? I couldn't find anything that pegged her as a Republican until I got to a news clipping page where it showed her standing with other Republicans. And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know if it's her or Dario Anselmo who has done the best job of hiding the fact that they're Republicans. Your district.
Well, I guess they like that color scheme.
Well, they're terrified. And I think this is a sign of the changing times. They are terrified in your district specifically, and a few other districts, of being identified as Republican, because they know for a lot of people, whether that's from the federal level or in the state level, Republican in these areas is not a good word.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I feel when I'm talking to people, and I'm out every day, and I'm talking to as many as people as I can when I'm out. And I get this sense that there's a lot of people right now that are dissatisfied, and they don't want to vote Republican. And they think about who the president is right now, and they're not happy with that. But then they want something else. They want to know, they don't want something, they don't want to vote against, they want to vote for. And so that's why, what I'm doing right now, what my volunteers are doing, and people that are kind of joining with us, it's really about getting this message out about who you're voting for and not who you're voting against. And that's what we really believe in here. And we're ready, we're willing and ready to talk about the issues. It's about safe and healthy communities. It's about a strong economy, and it's about world-class education. And when people vote for me, that's what they're voting for.
I'm fascinated. I want to talk a little bit more about your door knocking, and you've been out and talking in the community, mm-hmm. because I've talked to a lot of people in rural districts and in more kind of lower class districts. Your district, Minnetonka, Eden Prairie, they're healthy suburbs. There's a lot of money there. These suburbs of the Southwest Metro. What are the issues which are the priorities when you're talking to people, when you're knocking on that door? What are the issues they're saying, I want you to deal with this?
You know, if I were to say the two most common answers are, first of all, this idea of partisanship. And, you know, I have a pretty well-educated district and people more, you know, somewhat attuned to what's going on in St. Paul. And they saw that partisanship and they oppose it. And so that's an issue for them. And then the second issue that I probably hear most about is education. Mm-hmm. And people like their public schools. People move here for the schools. And they want to maintain that. And even people like me, whose kids have grown up and graduated from these public schools, we care about the next generation. And I think those two things are what I'm hearing about most often.
You know, it's interesting. Your district has three school districts, Eden Prairie, Hopkins, and Minnetonka. And I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I live in Hopkins. I can say this: when these Republicans talk about voucher programs or charter schools and diverting money away from the public schools, this is something that is, you know, that's something these school districts do not like, because they're really, really, really good public schools, and you don't want to start undermining that.
Right. Right. And one thing that's happening right now that I'm hearing a lot from our school districts is that. There's a high need for really high quality special education, because every child
yes.
deserves the education that benefits them, and it's an obligation. It's a mandate from the federal government, but I think it's an obligation that we feel here at the local level too. And you know, this is a cost, it's a cost that we have to bear, and it's part of our public education, and it's part of our public obligation.
In 2016, you won that seat by what, 2 points?
I think it was a little bit more than 2 points. So it's a big margin out here.
Well, I want you to
or two percentages.
Not two votes. you were 2%. It was around there. I mean, this is a district that is close because you have generally a stronger Republican base, but it has been shifting to the left. It's been shifting to the Democrats. It's been shifting ever since 1990s, and you've been getting more and more Democrats out there. This is not a for sure seat, and we want to get people out there volunteering and donating to help you out in this district, because this is a seat we need to make sure we hold on to.
Right, right. And there, right now, people are seeing so much outside spending, independent expenditures, that's coming into the district. And it's, it's the digital, it's the mailers, I don't know where else it's showing up, but it's from these independent groups, and however they're getting funded, we may not ever know, but they have a lot of money and they're spending it here. So, what we can do, as a team here, I think we all really appreciate. So we're reaching out. We'll take whatever help we can get.
Well, and once again, a lot of this is to hide your opponent's party. They don't want anyone knowing mm-hmm. your opponent's a Republican, and there is a tremendous amount of money spent in this district to try to kind of hide her as some sort of pseudo-Democrat. We need to make sure mm-hmm. we send Representative Pryor back into St. Paul. Go to her webpage. It's LoriPryor.org, right?
Right, that's it.
Lori,
And Lori is L-A-U-R-I-E.
P-R-Y-
It's that kind of Lori.
P-R-Y-O-R. LAUREPRYOR.org. Correct?
That's it.
Absolutely.
That's it. Thank you.
If you can donate, if you can volunteer, I imagine you got some door knocking going on in the next few weeks, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. If you can help out Representative Pryor in 48A. Lori, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time. All my best out there. I think you've done a great job the last 2 years, and I really do think we need to get you back into St. Paul, only this time with a majority.
Oh, thank you so much. It certainly has been my pleasure. I really enjoyed talking.
Thank you. Representative Lori Pryor, 48A, Democrat of the day.